You're listening to Cult Genero Chat, the only weekly English language podcast on Atletico Madrid and a part of Into the Calderon, the SB Nation home for all things Atletico. I'm Jeremy Barron. My guests on this edition of Cult Genero Chat are Rob Walker and Carlo Valladares. They stop by to discuss everything there is to discuss about Atletico's win at Granada on Saturday by a 0-0. Like Salt Bae sprinkles salt, Antoine Griezmann sprinkles goals. It was another act of Griezmann heroics that handed Atletico all 3 points at Los Cármenes, and a big 3 points at that, considering other results from the weekend. Plus, Champions League preview. Bayer Leverkusen are next at the Calderon on Wednesday. Will it be smooth sailing into the quarterfinals for Atleti? Find out after this. La Liga whip-around time, guys. Let's do it. Let's start on Friday in a dynamite game at Cornea. Espanyol 4, Las Palmas 3. Mauricio Lemos, who's quickly becoming one of my favorite defenders in La Liga. He scored twice, two equalizers, but not enough to seriously challenge Espanyol, who pulled away in the second half. A Pablo Piatti penalty, and Jurado, former Atletico great Jurado, making it 4-2. Mateo Garcia Paul went back late, but Espanyol held on for the win. Great game, that.
Still can't win away from home.
Still can't win. Just we had Andre Sherrod on the podcast last week, and Las Palmas still just have that one win away from Gran Canaria. It was against Valencia on the opening day of the season. The opening week of the season. On to Saturday. Speaking of Andre's Valencia, they drew with Sporting Gijón 1-1 at Mestalla. Unfortunate result for them. Doesn't really hurt them too much. Doesn't really help Sporting, though. They're still pretty deep in the relegation battle, 7 points clear, 7 points away from safety. One of the more surprising results of the weekend, in which there were a few surprises, Sevilla 1, Leganés 1. Not really encouraging for Sevilla, as they have to go to Leicester midweek for the Champions League. They were pretty uninspired, it looked like, in a draw with Leganés, who continue to pick up points in the games that they need to pick up points in. They've taken at least a point in 3 of their last 4, and they're now 6 points clear of the drop.
They're gonna proceed to the next round, though, against Leicester.
I think they will.
Yeah, Leicester have that away goal, which complicates things a little bit, but I think they will. I think they'll progress. Malaga 1, Alaves 2. Rob and I were talking about this game before we went on the air. Malaga played really well under new manager Michel, but 10-man Alaves scoring a very late winner through Edgar Mendez, I think, scored it. Definitely against the run of play, so a difficult result for Malaga, who are increasingly getting dragged into a relegation fight. They're still 7 points clear, but they are 16th now in the table, which is very surprising for a team that is normally middle of the pack.
Yeah, terrible form. Lost a bunch of games, and Alaves just continue to batter teams down, even when they may not deserve it in the run of play.
Yeah, that is 4 losses on the bounce now for Malaga, who are on their 3rd manager of the season. Sunday was a big day. The early game, one that Atleti fans paid, I think, pretty close attention to. Real Sociedad 0, Athletic Club Bilbao 2. That was at Anoeta. Athletic not good away from home. They had scored just 7 goals away from San Mamés before Sunday. Raul Garcia scoring a penalty in that one, and a big result for both teams. It knocks Sociedad 4 points back of fourth place, and Athletic 4 points back of the final Europa League place. Deportivo La Coruña 2, Barcelona 1. Yay. I took some delight in this one, I will say. Carlo, I know you did as well.
Yeah. They were good. I mean, Barcelona were obviously had that hangover from that comeback, which I say with, you know, quotations, because
yes.
I thought they were kind of robbed in terms of the officiating PSG were. But yeah, this was a team that was still basking in their historic European night, and I thought we're kind of flat.
Yeah, they ran into a pretty organized buzzsaw there in Deportivo and played very well again, and haven't lost yet under Pepe Mel, and now 8 points clear of the drop. So they are moving on up, and Alex Bergantinos, the man who put Fernando Torres in the hospital, scored the winning goal. On to Balaidos. Celta Vigo 0, Villarreal 1. Roberto Soldado scoring the winner just before halftime. And Villarreal are back in form after a 10-game run, which saw them win only once in all competitions. They've now won 4 of the last 5 in La Liga. Finally on Sunday, Real Madrid 2, Real Betis 1. Real Madrid should have been down to 10 men, of course. Sergio Ramos scored a late winner. Of course, they are now top of La Liga with a game in hand. And the game Monday, earlier today, which we were recording on Monday, Osasuna and Eibar playing on a 1-1 draw. Not really a good look for Eibar. So here's the table. Real Madrid are top on 62 points with a game in hand. Barcelona in second on 60. Sevilla in third on 57 points. Atletico Madrid in fourth on 52. Villarreal and Real Sociedad fifth and sixth on 48 points. Now, we did not talk about Atletico's results. Granada 0, Atletico 1. I think the most important thing from this game was that Alessio Cerchi was on the bench.
The next Luis Suarez, the Uruguayan kid.
Yeah, Chiapicase was on the bench as well, but he doesn't. Cerchi's the future.
Yeah.
Could you see him?
I'm really excited to see what this Atletico Madrid side, especially our youth, is going to look like and play like in the future, especially at the new stadium.
Yeah, I think if Atleti gotten out to a bigger lead, Chiapicase would have played. I think they'd gone up like 2 or 3-0. You could have seen someone like Griezmann taken off, but didn't happen that way. Of course, as we'll talk about. But you could just see an Atleti snap story as they were coming into Granada. Cerchi walking off the plane, you knew there was going to be some badassery taking place on Saturday. You just knew.
Yep, he's our best bench ornament, I'd say.
So, as far as the actual events at Los Carmenes, two words, Antoine Griezmann. The man is on fire. 12 goals in 18 games in 2017, and he scored the winner after... Well, it took a while to get it. He scored the winner very late on 84 minutes. Let's start with you, Carlo. General observations from this game.
Well, a part of me was kind of surprised at the way Granada came out, because everybody was on the same wavelength in terms of intent. I thought they were quite superior in like the first 20 minutes. We had our chances, and there was, I think, maybe even a couple offsides wrongly called. So I didn't think it was all bad. I thought we tried to impose ourselves on the ball, and we lost a lot of midfield battles. And then in the second half, I thought it was just an end-to-end. Our clinical finisher just came up against the rest of the pack, and Griezmann, you know, that's what he's been doing all season. I think he's saved us a bit, especially in 2017. So obviously we're very fortunate to have his goal-scoring form on the up and up, and he has scored more headed goals than any other player in La Liga right now. So congratulations to him. He's on fire.
Yeah, and he's also up there in the charts in terms of scoring outside the box, but this goal was not outside the box. Some of the talking points over the last few weeks in La Liga are, you know, how much Lionel Messi has saved Barcelona this season, or how much Sergio Ramos has saved Real Madrid this season. But Antoine Griezmann has done a lot of saving for Atletico this season. Is this the best form Grizzy has ever been in, do you guys think?
I think yes, because he's showing now that in terms of threatening from outside the penalty area, he's improved. His creation has improved. Obviously, his knack for scoring headed goals, that's also improved. So, all across the board, his game has become more dynamic, and he's just really dangerous in multiple aspects of his game now. So I think he's the most complete. This is the most complete Antoine Griezmann I think I've seen.
Yeah, I'd agree. And it took a good bit of character for him to come back from a slight slump in form during the first half of the season, but it's good to see him back amongst the goals and being able to come up with big goals as Atleti need him to do.
It may seem a weird question to ask because Griezmann oftentimes dominates without really dominating. He'll drift in and out of games sometimes, but more lately you've been seeing this more and more. He will come up with the goods when the team needs him. That was a criticism of him the last couple of years, not as much anymore. And I agree with Carlo's point that this is about as complete as we've ever seen Griezmann in red and white and in his career. And 12 goals in 18 games in 2017 after the last couple of months of 2016 where he was very clearly fatigued and tired and overworked and exhausted and really wasn't doing much at all as Atleti's form as a team really slipped and they were in a lot of trouble. But you're seeing the team rediscover itself, I think. And yes, I know on this program before we've talked about false dawns and false hope and not taking La Liga results more than in a vacuum, but these were three big points here that Atleti wouldn't have gotten without Griezmann, and his big game credentials they're coming. He's boosting his resume in that regard. I don't think it's recency bias to say that this is the best we've seen him, and this is the most difference making he has been, I think, in his career in red and white, because we're going on now two solid months of him just being awesome. Very few games where he's just been disappointing and completely uninvolved. Even the game against Celta Vigo, where he ended up scoring the winner, he wasn't really good for 80-85 minutes of that game, but he still scored the winning goal.
Yeah, he's more decisive when we're not exactly at our best as a team. But I will say, however, he's not up in that echelon of like Neymar, Messi, where in the biggest of stages, especially in the Copa del Rey and in our last Liga match against Barcelona, personally, my opinion, there's still a part of Griezmann that I feel is not as decisive in the end all of games, in the games where our opponents are of a different class, and I still haven't seen him rise to those occasions as I'd like him to, as he's shown in these other games against teams that are, let's be honest, inferior to Barcelona's and the Real Madrid's.
Well, when we draw Barcelona or Madrid in the Champions League quarterfinals, we'll get another chance to see if he can score against them. So,
oh yeah, absolutely, and I hope we get a Saúl Ñíguez screamer in a final soon.
Yeah, let's hope. I'm trying to say Atleti are going to draw Barcelona or Atleti are going to draw Real Madrid so much. I'm trying to jinx it so they don't draw one of those two teams, but we know what's going to happen.
Reverse jinx, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
So, yeah, we're probably going to get one of those teams again. It just wouldn't be Atleti UCL journey without us meeting one of those teams.
Exactly. I can hope against hope it's not going to happen, but it's going to happen. So, back to this game, did Granada deserve more? Because in the first half especially, they went toe-to-toe with Atletico and took the play to them on several occasions. They were pretty organized, very, very competitive, played with a lot of spirit. Just the final ball wasn't there. The end product wasn't there. That's in part because of the inferior talent. But, Rob, we'll start with you this time. Do you think Granada maybe deserved a point here on Saturday?
Perhaps not really particularly. I thought Memo Ochoa, as he's been at many points throughout his career, was extremely good. As you said, they had good attacks in this game. I think it was in the 38th minute they had a 3-on-2 against Atleti, and they were in the box. But then from that, they led to a counterattack where Griezmann went on one with the keeper, but he was flagged offside.
Was that the play where Savic stopped Andres Pereira, like, one-on-one?
No, I think it was a ball put across by Pereira, but Oblak cut it out, and then it went to Felipe, and then from there to Koke, and then through to Griezmann, and that was when he was flagged offside, and that was wrongly offside, I would say, because the Granada right-back was playing him on. But I don't know. I think in the second half they were better, not than Atleti, but they had more chances. But I do think Atleti deserved to win this game. for me watching it, it sort of felt more of like a win than if Atleti won this game.
Carlo?
I'm with Rob in that, yes, there were certain stretches of that game where Granada were, they looked up for it more than we were. But at the same time, I never thought that we lost our footing or that we were completely out the door in terms of our game plan. I always thought we were always in it from the beginning, despite the midfield just being so jam-packed and it was just a scrappy game. But I actually think Granada, any other day, they get a goal, and I think it would have been a draw.
Yeah, they came very close in the second half. Adrian Ramos had a point blank chance that he just hit the ball so weakly that it was too easy for Oblak to just scoop it up. The second half, Atleti stood out, and we'll go through the game in just a minute here. But Atleti stood out. Atleti played with more intensity. A bit of a let off, I think, in the sense that Simeone's subs were not as on point as they usually are. But overall, the intensity, the effort, the energy, Atleti picked it up in the second half. Couple of switches tactically, but they picked it up in the second half, and in the end, definitely deserved the goal and probably could have gotten a second or a third.
Yeah, and I thought despite getting sent off very late on in the game, I thought Wakaso was extremely good for Granada.
Wakaso,
I mean, he was very dominant in that game.
Wakaso and Uche were both very good. Yeah, Wakaso caused a lot of problems with his speed.
I thought all of Granada was quite good. I really think that it wasn't so much that we were necessarily bad. I thought they were just a team that was desperate to just fight their way out of a relegation battle against a top side like Atletico.
Yeah, I mean, we got to give them some credit. Atleti weren't very good, particularly in the first half. Second half was better, but got to give Granada credit here. They fought very hard. Lucas Alcaraz, I think, has found a team there, a workable team in this mishmash of a squad that he's got. They worked very hard, and on another day, maybe the bounces would have gone differently and they would have gotten a goal of their own, but in the end, Atleti deserved the 3 points. What else? Second half, we saw at halftime Tomas Partey come off for Angel Correa. Now, Carlo, you and I talked about this a little bit last night. Tomas started this game in place of Gabby, who is out recovering from hand surgery. He needed surgery on a couple fingers. He was bandaged last weekend against 2 weeks ago, rather, against Valencia. What did you make of that change? Because I think it was later rendered unnecessary. And at any rate, Tomas was playing pretty well.
I think it was a game where Simeone realized I'm in like end-to-end affair, and he wanted Correa to come on and impact the game in the areas that he usually does, and that is when there's space or on a break or especially in transition. But, you know, time and time again, I find that Angel Correa, he tries to do too much, and he'll be in a space that is to Atletico's benefit, or he'll have other options to pass or do something else more just simpler, and he just tries to do like a flick through someone's legs. He tries to do things that Neymar does effectively, and Angel Correa just doesn't do it well.
Yeah,
and when you have a guy like Tomas Partey who comes in and he's a young player who I think is mature beyond his years. He comes in and he knows exactly what his responsibilities are, and he executes them. And I thought he broke up plays very well. I think he's very athletic. He's very fast. He's good at getting the ball up the field. I think around the penalty area, he's lacking a bit in creativity. But I understand Simeone's mindset. I think at that point, he didn't want to go down a goal to Granada, and he really wanted to add a spark there.
Yeah, I agree. He was definitely looking for a spark, and I've thought more about it since Saturday, because it was a really confusing sub to me, as Tomas was playing very well. I kind of wonder who else he would have taken off if he wanted to get Correa on. Obviously, you can't field 12 players. So it occurred to me that I'm not really sure who else could have come off. I mean, maybe Carrasco, although Carrasco had a really good second half in particular.
Yeah, that's the only other option, but yeah. Carrasco's better than Correa.
Yeah, by a mile. And there's some frustration with Correa, I think, that he is a bit of a showman, and the end results doesn't always justify the tricks and the natural talent that he very clearly has and he very clearly displays. I think there's some building frustration with how he's not impacting games like he was a few months ago. I'm not saying Atleti should ditch him, because he's still very young and still has a lot to offer and could have even more to offer. But yeah, Rob, what's your take on that? Do you think there's some frustration, and is it justified with Correa?
I mean, I think a lot of us saw frustration on Twitter from people, and that happens sort of with young players, particularly in the point where they're not really mature enough to pick their head up and make the sensible pass to the open teammate or whatnot. But Correa created a fair amount of chances in this game. I mean, he had the same amount of shots as Griezmann did.
Which is both good and bad, I think.
Yeah, he had a good chance at the near the very end of the match, I remember.
Yeah, it's the 87th minute or something like that. But I thought he did particularly well from that standpoint. But no, I don't think it's really justified to want to ditch him or get rid of him in any kind of way.
No way.
I mean, he has so much potential. I think if the knock on him is that he's not making the smart or mature pass, then that can be easily improved on the more he plays in the first team. So yeah. I look forward to his future in the Atleti shirt, and I hope he sticks around for a little while longer.
I'm pretty sure he will. So he comes on, and Simeone's
in. I just want to add to the discussion, because obviously we know who we support. You know, we support a team that is tremendously structured and regimented in every aspect of play. And I want to know if you guys think that maybe a 4-2-3-1 or another more fluid, expansive formation could benefit Correa. I just want to get maybe your opinions on that.
I've been a proponent of Atleti switching to the 4-2-3-1 for a couple of years now. Like, during summer 2014, when Atleti acquired guys like Mandzukic, who would have been perfect in a one-striker formation, I've been an advocate for that. A 4-3-3 doesn't seem to work for Correa, which is kind of weird, as he can be very influential out wide using his pace and using his dribbling. 4-3-3 doesn't really seem to work with him, but pairing him with Griezmann, the players are a little too similar. So something like a 4-2-3-1 where he's maybe just behind a striker, I think it's worth a try. I mean, I don't think Simeone will try it, but Correa seems to be kind of a weird fit for a 4-4-2. And in 4-3-3, he also seems to be kind of a strange fit in a 4-3-3.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where he ends up long term. I don't think any of us really know what his best position is quite yet, but I think we'll figure it out sooner rather than later.
He's not a great right winger, which is where he's played a bit this season. He's played on the right hand side of midfield, not as much lately. He's not great in that position. But he's also not a killer striker. He's also not a guy who's going to bury a ton of chances. So it's kind of hard to say. I mean, it's worth a try, but it's kind of hard to say exactly where he would fit in that system too, considering he doesn't exactly have a fixed position,
which is not worth risking tactically just for Correa, really.
Correct. Yeah, it's not worth risking solidity and the regimented structure of the team, as Carlo put it, to just accommodate Correa for 45-minute stretches. At some point, he's got to find his way.
Also looked at, just as an example.
Sure.
Just as an example, if you look at Juventus, how Allegri switched to that 4-2-3-1 for Juventus, and their whole attacking dynamic changed completely. Now, obviously, we don't have the same players as Juventus, but I think that next season, I think Simeone should try the 4-2-3-1, because if you remember, I think around December, we did try that formation once or twice, and it didn't look all that bad. We didn't look that exposed defensively. So I think it's something that he should consider, not just with Correa in mind, but with the other players, like even having Jose Jimenez as in a pivot role with Gabby or maybe Saul or something.
Yeah, and the last time Cholo really not really flirted with the 4-2-3-1, but used it semi regularly was when Falcao was in the team, which was several years ago. So he hasn't really used it extensively since then. And
well, Falcao and El Correa that. Potentially. I mean, it's a big statement to make. But I think that Falcao and El Correa could end up being somewhat similar players, really, long term. But I mean, that's the hope.
I mean, Falcao was up that way. Falcao was a killer. He was a monster in terms of well, of course, he would bury all his penalties, but he was also so before the knee injury, so athletic and such a terror up front that I don't see Correa doing that yet. I mean, the comps for Aguero for a Correa coming out of Argentina were with Aguero.
Tevez, too.
Or Tevez, yeah.
Both very hardworking players as well. And if he can add that sort of hunger and bastardliness to his game, that'd be a plus big time.
Yeah, so that's interesting. It remains to be seen where his best position is going to be, what formation best accommodates him. Maybe a 4-2-3-1 is the formation that's going to be the key to unlocking him. Because 4-4-2 as a winger with Griezmann and Torres or Gamero up top, that's not it. 4-3-3 with in a more narrow formation, that really isn't it either.
Yeah, we'll see, though. I mean, I'm with Rob. I'm not for ditching him. He has a natural ability in small spaces that I think is very hard to come by, and we gotta just keep on investing time and effort into him, and I think he'll be a good end result very soon.
Yeah, I agree. I'm still with him for sure. So he came on, and as Simeone intended, the game became more end to end, more open. After about 15 minutes, though, Simeone realized that, hey, maybe this isn't the best idea. Granada just came very close to scoring. So I'm going to put Jose Jimenez on for the final half hour and take Nico Gaitán off, who wasn't that good. I mean, to be fair to Gaitán, he hasn't gotten a lot of chances. But when he has gotten them, he was all right on Saturday, but I didn't see anything outstanding from him. So Jose Ma came on to kind of bring back control of the midfield as Granada had really overloaded the midfield and had more bodies there. And Jose Ma was great. He was fantastic. And you didn't really – you noticed a change instantly, but I'm not sure watching it, you know, without watching it extremely closely, you wouldn't have known that was the change that really, I think, changed the game, was Jose Ma coming on to help reestablish control in midfield.
I like Jimenez as a midfielder, as a holding midfielder a lot, because one, he has size, and I always like to take a page from Mourinho's book. And you know, if you're laid on and you got to defend a lead, you just put in a tall defensive midfielder in front of two good center backs, and you have even more aerial support and just support in general. But Jimenez is also very athletic, and I think he can. He's very fluid in the middle of the park, and I actually would like to see him in a 4-2-3-1 a lot.
Yes. Yeah, Jose Ma is really scary athletic. He's scary quick. He's big. He's strong. Really good in the air. And being in a holding role allows him to go crazy without going crazy, you know, without really much of a risk of doing something really dumb in his own penalty box. So it gives him a bit more space to operate. And he really helped take back control.
We all know that he's also no Iniesta or, you know, Luka Modric.
He's not as graceful as them. Let's put it that way.
Well, and that also allowed for Koke to move further forward as he sort of set back so that the two midfielders were no longer just Koke and Saul back there.
Yeah,
so
Koke.
He really did shore that area.
He had a fine game. He was out on the right for a lot of this game, and he had a really solid game. and he assisted what was what eventually became the winning goal on 84 minutes. It was a corner. It was starting to look like this was going to finish goalless, and you know it was going to be doom all over again. But it was a short corner. Koke got it back from Felipe, pinpoint cross to Griezmann, who was coming in unmarked for a free diving header that Ochoa had no chance at. It was a great, assist by Koke.
I love diving headers.
Like, you could just see the path of the ball. Yes, he's not going to get it. Goal. Goal.
Yeah, such an accurate goal that it just really amazed me at how Griezmann has really improved his game in that aspect, especially in and around the box. He's just he's a threat in the air now.
Yeah, he's
just so accurate.
Yeah, you started to see this last year. He's such a great header of the ball now. Very, very accurate with his head. But that goal was created by Koke. Griezmann doesn't get that chance if Koke's cross is off even by a little bit. It was a wonderful cross. Pinpoint.
Yeah, to me that goal was mostly Koke, because you can't cross a more perfect ball than that.
Yeah, it was right into the danger zone. It was really beautiful.
Perfect, yep. So, Atleti saw the game from there. Wicasso got sent off in stoppage time for a foul on Griezmann that he then unwisely protested as a Granada play Sporting next week in what is, I don't know, kind of a big game for them. So he will not play in that. But that's not really Atletico's concern. And they held on for the 1-0 victory. Couple other things from this game. Just really one more thing. Juan Fran. Let's talk about Juan Fran. He started this game, his first appearance of any kind in a month since he went out at halftime against Celta Vigo. He wasn't good. And it made me sad because I think I now realize that this may be kind of permanent. I think Juan Fran's, this is more of Juan Fran getting old than Juan Fran being rusty. Or having a hangover from the missed penalty in Milan last May. I want to know what you guys think. Is Juan Fran just getting old? Was he rusty? Is it a mental thing? I just think he's getting old, and he's played, 12,000 minutes the last 3 years, which is a lot of football for a guy who had never played that much football before.
Rob, you want to go first?
Yeah, either one. Yeah, sure. Either one of you guys.
I think he sort of had, as you say, kind of a twilight in his career, or a sort of a resurgence later on, because as you say, he hadn't played a lot in sort of the first bit of his career. But I guess the signing of Shime Versalco over the summer may have been an early indicator that within the club they had first time as the perennial right back for Atleti was coming to an end. And I've been personally quite impressed with Versalco throughout the season. So it's reassuring that we have someone there who's solid for the foreseeable future going forward, for me personally. So I agree with you. I think this is just part of the aging process.
Yeah,
and as a backup right back, it's a tough position to have a player for, but
especially
fun to have.
Especially in that Atleti system where both fullbacks are required to defend as well as attack. Hopefully this process doesn't start showing, and hopefully the aging process doesn't start in Felipe for another couple of years, fingers crossed, but I think it's starting to show in Juan Fran. He just turned 32. He had been a winger at Osasuna. He'd been a key player for them, but it really wasn't until Atletico that he played all the minutes he's played at right back. So Carlo, I want to get your thoughts on this. Is it getting old, or is it something else?
I think if you put it in the context with Versalico and Juan Fran, Versalico has been better in more aspects of what a fullback is supposed to do. I thought against Barcelona, Versalico neutralized Neymar quite well, to the point where I knew, okay, Juan Fran, defensively, you've been matched by Versalico, and we may not need you in that aspect anymore. And going forward, he's shown even earlier in the season that he is superior in terms of a final ball into the box and creating chances. So I think in both those aspects, he's already superior. And I don't want to say Juan Fran is bad or is slowing down, which he may be, but I think Versalico has just been better, flat out.
He has, and this was a really smart buy from Atletico that I think went under the radar for a couple reasons. Number one, they were really chasing hard after that elite forward, Costa, Cavani, Aubameyang, Higuain. They were really chasing after that elite guy to pair with Griezmann. They didn't get. They got Gamero instead. But that was the transfer rumor that was dominating the headlines. And number two, they were going after Nico Gaitán as well. And Gaitán was supposed to be kind of a panacea for 25 million euros, which he wasn't. So, or hasn't been. Versalco kind of got lost in this a little bit, and he's been excellent. And not that part isn't really Juan Fran's fault. I'm not sure how much of this really is Juan Fran's fault. I mean, people get old. Footballers get old. It happens.
Yeah. I mean, right back isn't really a sexy position to talk about in the news. And it's not. No. It's sad to see it happen to players, but it's part of it's how this sort of goes. But I still think Juan Fran will have abilities that he can offer in terms of his experience as a player and in this team as a leader going forward, just not in the limelight as much as he has been.
Oh yeah, he still has a role to play in this team. Very
absolutely.
I think Versalco has supplanted him. As of now, I think we can pretty definitively say that Versalco has supplanted Juan Fran as the first choice right back in this team, which is fine. Versalico has been great this year. Atleti haven't really missed a beat on the right side with him in the 11. Juan Fran still has a lot to offer, though. He can play on the wing. He can play as a deputy right back, and still offers a lot of quality. This guy's a former. I'm not sure Lopetegui's going to call him up to national team again, but he's got over 20 caps for Spain. He's played a big hand in some of the biggest games of the Simeone era, whether that's in the league, whether it's in the Champions League, whether it's in the Copa. He's been at the heart of all those great moments, and he's loyal servant to the club. That
he's been a model. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that carries weight. That was just what I was going to say.
Yeah, you know, I agree. Everything you say in terms of the national team and in the Simeone era, Juan Fran has been a staple, and he's been a model of consistency in so many aspects. He's a player that gives 110% every game, and I agree with Rob. Fullbacks is not the most is not the sexiest position, but in terms of his generation and those in the know and those who really analyze the game, especially now in the modern game, know that Juan Fran is one of the best fullbacks in the world. But he's definitely one of the best right backs of his generation, without a doubt.
Yep.
Yeah, and it may not be a hugely interesting topic to talk about with fullbacks, but in the modern game, as you say, they've become hugely important. If you can have a pair of extremely good fullbacks, then it can make a huge difference in your team, both defensively and going forward.
I mean, look at Atletico last year. We're in the race for the league title until the second to last week, made it to another Champions League final, and it's because Juan Fran had like a real live, breathing left back on the other side of the pitch in Felipe Luis. It wasn't, you know, the corpse of, you know, Guilherme Siqueira or Christian Ansaldi. I don't miss those days, by the way.
It's noticeable when you have a bad fullback, for sure. God.
Yeah, so we'll see what role Juan Fran has to play the rest of the season, but not sure how much more we're going to see him start this year and even into next year. At any rate, though, Atletico 1-0 winners against Granada, now fourth in La Liga, 4 points clear of Sociedad and Villarreal and Sociedad. Champions League, let's talk about that for a minute. On Wednesday, Atleti go back to the Calderon to host Bayer Leverkusen, who have undergone quite a few changes, not in the last 2 years, but just in the last few weeks. They have a new manager. I can't remember his name for the life of me, but they fired Schmidt, and they have this new guy who oversaw a 1-1 draw against Werder Bremen at the weekend. They have some injuries. Doesn't look like Omer Toprak is going to play on Wednesday. Bernd Leno is also a doubt. What do we think? What do we think is going to happen on Wednesday? Easy, smooth sailing, or are there going to be some challenges?
I think it's probably going to be pretty easy. I know no Champions League game is easy, but I think this one won't be too bad. I mean, and now, as soon as I say that, I'm sure they'll put up a good fight. But, you know, they haven't won a game since they played us last. They lost 6-2 to Dortmund the game before they played Werder Bremen. I mean, they're weak at the back, and Omer Toprak missed the penalty in the last game. So they're in a bit of a free fall at the moment, and they're 10th in Germany. So I think it's looking good for us, to say the least.
And those were Rob's final words before Leverkusen won 4-0.
Yes, exactly.
Carlo, what do you think?
I'm fine to take that risk.
Carlo, what do we think ahead of Wednesday? Are we excited? Are we scared to death? Smooth sailing or otherwise?
No. I'm with Rob in terms of the fact that we're going to win. I know we're going to win. We're going to continue to the next round. But I don't think it's going to be easy. I think last game, Bayer Leverkusen were quite good in possession. Obviously, we were more threatening and just better on the break. But Bayer Leverkusen by no means is a pushover. I know their domestic form isn't the best. They're in the middle of the table, and they've won, I think, like one in their last five games. Obviously, Schmidt has been sacked, but this is a team that is going to give us a hard time. I know we're going to be home, so we play out differently than how it did in Germany, but given the fact that they're also dealing with some key injuries, I think we're gonna nick a goal and proceed 5-2 on aggregate, something like that.
Yeah, Leverkusen's new manager is Typhon Korkut. I believe that's how you pronounce his name. I may or may not be right on that, but yeah, that's the new manager. And in terms of a scoreline for this game, kind of tough because Atleti Star is still gonna be without some key guys. Gabby and Felipe are both suspended. Due to yellow card accumulation. Gabby would have missed the game anyway due to his hand surgery. Kevin Gamero's status is unknown. Fernando Torres is expected to be available. Simeone said as much before the Granada game during his press conference that he expects Torres will be ready on Wednesday, which would be a remarkable turnaround. I don't think we have to say that more than once. So still an incomplete squad that will take the field. That'll take to the pitch on Wednesday, but it almost certainly Atleti to go through. I'm going to say it'll be a 2-2 draw, and we'll win 6-4 in aggregate.
I kind of see it being a low-scoring affair, kind of as Carlo suggested. It seems like it would be one of those 5-2, 1-0 Simeone win, kind of Simeone specials, where it's not the most interesting game in the world, but they get the job done. That kind of seems the way it's going to go for me.
Well, that's good. No, we had some differences.
Yeah, I think we're going to take advantage of the fact that they're missing key players, and we're just going to stay organized, play it safe, and just really just try to pick our chances when we get them. And I think Griezmann's going to keep up his scoring form.
Yeah, it seems like there may be a little bit of capitulation here on Bayer Leverkusen's part. They're going to be without more than just Toprak and Leno. I think they're missing Çalhanoğlu, obviously, is still out as well. But they're set to miss another key player. Can't remember who it is, which isn't really good for podcasting purposes. But I'm sure we'll tweet it out tomorrow or Wednesday.
They're going to be without right back Benjamin Henrichs.
Henrichs.
And also, that's another key player that I thought was quite good in the first leg.
Yeah, he set up Bellarabi's goal.
Yeah, he's extremely young. He's been great this season for them.
Yeah, so they're missing quite a few key guys. Plus, with a brand new manager, who we don't know what to expect from them tactically. So there could be a couple surprises that they'll try to throw at Atleti, and it might not be a very high-intensity game as Atleti all but have this wrapped up. And we'll set to go to the quarterfinals, which the draw for that will be Friday, very, very early my time, but I'll still be watching it and
yeah,
probably raging when we draw Madrid.
We're, We're not PSG when it comes to defending leads. I'll just say that.
Yeah, we know how to do that.
We also will not have the same
if
referee.
If we sit back, we're doing it purposefully.
Yeah. Atleti will not have the same referee either. So, fingers crossed that doesn't happen. It won't happen.
No, I doubt it.
It won't happen. No.
Come on, Leicester.
Come on, Leicester. Yeah, so the draw is
very early. That's going to be a great game.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that. Monaco, Man City, I don't really know what to expect from that after that first leg. I'm expecting City to go through.
37 goals, I'd imagine.
Yeah. I expect City to go through, but I don't know what a scoreline would be, what that game would even look like. I just think City are going to go through.
Yeah, we also have Porto versus Juventus, too, I think.
Yeah, that's boring. Juve are already up 2-0 on away goals. That's going to be boring.
Nah, but Porto played good despite being down to 10 men the first leg. It's not over. It's definitely not over.
You don't think it's over. All right. Bold, I like it.
I think it'll be a Dortmund Benfica sort of game myself.
Speaking of Porto, there was a photo on Twitter I think of Porto players getting ready to leave to go to Turin. It was Iker Casillas and Oli Torres. And the caption was, this was in Spanish, I'm translating, when you're seeing off your son to his first day of college.
Yeah, I saw that. Oli
Torres still has the baby face, and Iker Casillas is, coming up on 40 years old.
Yeah.
He does look like his father. He really does.
He really has, Oli still has that little, baby face smile. It's adorable. I miss him.
Yeah, he looks like a fifth grader.
He does. He really does. And he's prospering at Porto, though, so I'm happy for him. All right.
Yeah, definitely good player.
Yeah. What else we got here, gentlemen?
I think that's about it for this coming week.
Carlo, you good?
I hope Barcelona are eliminated by whoever gets them in the next round.
Maybe it'll be us.
Maybe. Let's not count our chickens before they hatch.
If that's the case, then bring them on.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It's only the 50th time we played in the season.
Yeah.
Right.
I'd be very, very annoyed.
We just have to finish our chances against them, and because tactically we've killed them.
Yep.
The past three times we faced them this season, and the only reason we lost is because we can't finish. So if we just finish, we'll mop the floor with them, and we won't lose a 4-0 deficit like Paris.
Yeah. Paris.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can never trust them again with anything significant.
Yeah.
No.
I can't imagine what that was like mentally.
I don't know why Emery's still in charge. Why wouldn't you just sack him immediately after the game? There's no way he can survive this. Homeboy, apparently, you blew a 4-0 lead in the Champions League.
Job in December. I mean,
exactly, because he's Unai Emery. He's not a good manager. I'm sorry, but I've never rated him.
But he won three Europa leagues
because of Monchi.
Well, and they didn't win an away game last year, wasn't it? Something like that.
But let's not forget that they did dismantle Barca 4-0 in Paris. That still happened.
It did happen, but it means like little now. Even though Barcelona still have problems, it means little. Like if I'm Unai Emery, I'm shocked that I survived that night. And I will be shocked if I survive into next season. You have to sack him,
man. Those PSG owners must be sick. They spent all money. They must be sick.
Yeah, they offered Cholo much money.
I think there's a lot of positives from that tie, despite the second leg.
Yeah, I don't think there are as many. If you capitulate like that in the second leg, after going up 4-0, you still have a lot of problems in the makeup of your team. That's just, I think it's inexcusable and unacceptable. And yeah, the refereeing was appalling.
Yeah.
The refereeing was appalling, but it never should have gotten to that point.
No, I know, but I still think any other referee, PSG still play bad, but they just sneak through.
Yeah, you're probably right. I'm sorry. I've been holding that in for like a week, so I just needed to say that. Okay, that's enough. We're done. That's enough for this edition of Colts Narrow Chat. I'd like to thank my guests and ask them to stick around for a minute. Carlo Valladares and Rob Walker, either of you guys have anything you want to plug to our listeners? Carlo, I'm sure you do.
Yeah, I write. I do videos. I just started doing tactical analysis for Eat, Sleep, Drink Football.
Yeah.
It's a new company. It's tactical reports only. It's very in-depth, very acidic. So if you're not into that type of stuff, then I suggest you don't check it out. But if you are into that type of stuff, then expect to see weekly reports of La Liga and Champions League there. So just go to my Twitter handle at @C_V_news.
If you're a tactics junkie, you're going to want to read that. Yeah, really in-depth stuff there. All right, onward we go with the sign-off message. You can follow Carlo on Twitter at @C_V_news. Follow Rob at, still his new handle, rwalk03. As we further distance ourselves from the Trappin' brand.
Yeah, it's a rebrand.
It's a rebrand. I think it's weak, but you do you.
Yeah, I had to give up the lifestyle, the Trappin' lifestyle.
I was looking at the handle and I was like, wait, this is the same Rob that I did other podcasts with, but like did he just make a new account or did he just change his name? I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, no.
That's my reaction. What the hell?
Gotta find me now. Gotta know my name.
That's my exact reaction. You can follow me on Twitter. I have not changed my handle at @JBBaren. That's @JBBERen. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon, but you probably already do. Also, like us on Facebook, which many of you do not. I'm watching. I see you. Like us on Facebook at Into the Calderon. And you can subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of this very program, Colts Narrow Chat, on iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, and TuneIn. You can find us on all those platforms as ever. Leave a rating and a review on iTunes. It would be really, really appreciated. And that is everything. We'll catch you later this week. We'll be talking about the second leg against Leverkusen and previewing the massive clash with Sevilla next Sunday, which we didn't even get to week because we had so much to talk about.
But follow Jeremy and follow at Into the Calderon.
Yeah. We're great. We're awesome.
Tell your aunt.
tell your grandma. We'll catch you next time. Adios.